From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Robin Young.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. It's Here and Now. Coming up, a report from Bangkok, where violence erupted today between police and anti-government protesters who have been in the streets for months.
But first, we go to Vienna, where talks over Iran's nuclear program resumed today. Six major countries attending, and already Iran has drawn a line in the sand, saying it won't scrap any of its nuclear facilities. Let's go right to NPR's Peter Kenyon, who's in Austria. Peter, what else can you tell us about what's going on?
Well, this is the beginning of a long slog of difficult talks that are going to last for months. So obviously people are starting out with their opening positions, and this on the Iranian side, that of course means we're not dismantling anything, we're not scrapping anything. This is what their conservatives want to hear at home. But what happens inside the negotiating room is often sometimes a little bit different and a little more collegial, shall we say. Mr. Araghchi, Abbas Araghchi, came out and spoke to the Iranian press. He called the morning session, which was quite brief, less than an hour. He called it a good beginning. Michael Mann, High Representative Catherine Ashton's spokesman, came out and said they're determined to make progress. Supposed to go on through Thursday, these talks, and we'll see how far they get.
Well, it's interesting. We just came off the Syrian peace talks in Geneva, you know, huge pessimism there, considered, you know, pretty much a failure. What's the sense of, any movement in these talks?
Well, it is very uncertain. There is more of a clear path to work with. I mean, they have agreed on what the issues are. They do know where they would like to get. It's a question of how much each side is willing to give up to get there. Yeah. Iran has been setting out its red lines already. No dismantling, no scrapping of their centrifuges. They want the right to replace their very old centrifuges with better, more efficient ones. This is not sitting well, of course, with the Western and Israeli hardliners who are warning that this new Iranian president, Hassan Rouhani, is nothing more than the smiling face of terror. That's a quote from a sign that was being hoisted outside the media center here this morning by a group of activists who are looking to protect Israel's security. So obviously there's an awful lot of mistrust here that has to be overcome.
Yeah. And again, remind us, what is it that the negotiating side would take as a success with Iran? What is it that they are asking Iran to do?
Well, their side is fairly maximalist as well. As far as the West is concerned, Iran really doesn't need much enriched uranium. So that is the maximalist position from the West going in. Somewhere in between those two, there's going to have to be some kind of a compromise. This is the question of how much they have in terms of a stockpile, and also how much they are creating newly enriched uranium. Both of those combine to shorten the time they could, in theory, make a break to a nuclear weapon if they so desired.
Well, Peter, how do these talks build on the talks we spoke about in November?
Well, those were the setting the table, as it were. That was kind of a timeout. Iran agreed to basically pause most of the critical functions in its nuclear program for the next 6 months. Between now and June, they will not be adding to their highest enriched stockpile, which is 20%. They won't even really be adding to their stockpile of 5%. But and in return, there's been some sanctions lifted. And I was just in Tehran last week. There's definitely more optimism on the street. Just the fact that talks are going on gives them a feeling of hope. And it also has settled the currency markets, for one thing. So inflation has turned around a bit. So there are some marginal effects on the economy.
And Peter, just briefly, tell us more about what people told you in Iran, because we get a complicated story of people who feel pride in their country and don't want to be pushed around by the West. But on the other hand, they've been under the thumb of sanctions and maybe understand the request for Iran to dismantle its uranium-enriching centrifuges. So how do they feel about the stance their country's taking?
They are, in general, of the people I spoke with, very happy that the negotiations are going on. And they're very happy that the Supreme Leader is behind them, even though he's not optimistic. He is blocking hardliners from disrupting or derailing these talks. Most Iranians want to be part of the world again. You know, I was there for the anniversary of the Islamic Revolution, where people are chanting death to America pretty reflexively. And then when they're done, they'll come over and talk to you and say how much they like America, their daughters there. So it's a very mixed bag of feelings and conflicted feelings on their part. They really, honestly, do not want to see this nuclear program derail that effort. But it's not really up to them. It's the leadership and the Ayatollahs and the Revolutionary Guard and a very opaque political system that's going to dictate a lot of that.
Peter Kenyon in Vienna as the Iran talks begin. Peter, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Robin.